Northwest London, Sunday, Yud Aleph Cheshvan, 2nd November, Rabbi Simchi Yakubovich Shlita, Bereishis Series Part 3 of 3. This week's Torah is sponsored by family Berkovitz, Lichbert, Simchus on the son of E.D. Berkovitz, Shetichi, and Yossi Fishman, Nerioi. Custom takes place today, Mitzah Shem, He Rotzen, Shem, Abayas, Nimab Yisrael, Hashem, Lisilo. Rabbi Nishmas, founder of Torahway Goldsgreen. Rabbi Yosef Dov Ben Rabbi Shem Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz Zichron Levroch.
It's good to be back. Part 3. I'd like to solemnly take the moment as I begin part 3. What I speak about is what I am most sick in on a daily basis. It's not a nice speech, it's not something that I'm sharing because it's fun to share. It's unfortunate that we have to deal today with more cases, I find, of cure of craving, which are more of a challenge than the cure of chaykim. Cure of chaykim does involve outreach, it's a very harsh of a job. In fact, a massive schus. Avraham Avinu did cure of chaykim in a big way. He brought many back. Yet I think what is undeniable that Avraham Avinu did was cure of craving. The most unbelievable level. If anything, Sefer Bereishis is a message of fathers and sons all the way through, of parents and children all the way through, from the way Adam Rishon reacts to Kodesh Baruch Hu, all the way to how they always handle with their children. And it's a powerful message. I'd like to begin with a marshal, which will lead me to where we're going. There was once a king. The king had a garden. The gardener tended the garden. And unfortunately, the gardener, he decided one day he wanted his sons to take over the family business. He had one big strong son and one weaker son. And he said, you will take over the job in watering the garden. That's all you have to water the garden. I'm not asking for more. You water the garden and everything else will fit into place. Okay, the garden was beautiful. They just had to water it, cut a bit. There wasn't two nodes. The planting of where the flowers were, everything was organized. A few months later, he sees his sons working, he seems to be doing it, doesn't say anything, he walks by. A year later, he comes by, he sees the weaker son crying on the side of the garden, and the older son stepping up and down pails of water. So the king asks, the gardener asks his younger son, tell me, why are you not going up and down with this big bucket of water? Why are you me'ayish? Why have you given up? And he says, father, you see, my brother, he's bigger, he's stronger than me. He never drops one bit of water out of the bucket. Me, as I go up the hill, half the water's gone. I can't manage it. It's too much, it's too heavy. Half the water falls on the side of the hill. If half the water's falling on the side of the hill, we go down to the river stream to pick up the water for the king's garden, I give up. Miyash. The gardener says, I want to show you something. He takes his son down to the side of the garden, and there's grass, and it's blooming wild flowers. When I was a gardener, I only focused on the top. The king comes, he sees the top. Why would I focus on the side? The water that you spilt, and that you think you've wasted, has actually managed to make all the side of the hill grow. The water that you thought was worth nothing, because that spilt up by the time you got to the top, has made everything matzliach. Something that even I overlooked. Your shvachkeit, your weakness, is your strength. On the contrary, I see something great in you. Jumping into this parasha, you have to move forward before you go backwards. In the coming parashas, and I mean 2 weeks' time, starting from next week, 2 weeks, you get to tell this. And the question is, did Yitzchak not know that Esav was a Rosha? And we have tackled the issue in the past in the shiurim of love, what love is. And the answer is, we know that when Yitzchak married Rivka, he took her to the tent, and it says, and he loved, and Rashi says, what's it mean he loved? He loved her because he saw, Rashi says, the same qualities that his mother had, Rivka had. What's that mean? The same ruchnius, the candles, the clouds, the challah, he noticed what it meant. Ahava meant he recognized their potential. It's a very powerful thing for Rashi to point out to us, what does it mean, Ahava, Yitzchak to a Rivka? And the same thing when it came to the children. And Rivka loved Esav, and Yitzchak loved Yaakov. Rivka loved Yaakov, and Yitzchak loved Esav. It doesn't make sense. But on the contrary, we know Rivka did love Esau, because we find the end of the parsha where she says to Yitzchak, what's it worth if both my sons die on the same day? And Rashi goes into that. Rashi explains what's it worth, because the Nevuah was, they were meant to die on the same day. And so she cares about Esau. She doesn't want to lose both sons. So there's definitely a love over there. There's an ahava. And Amar Yitzchak, as Chazal teach us, saw an Antoninus and a Rebbe. That's the way it should be. Antoninus was a famous Roman emperor, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was one of Mishnayos. The love and cheek they had to one of the care they had for each other. There was a real bond there. Atkelikach, Antoninus would ask his hashkofi questions to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He built a tunnel, the Gemara says, underneath. He would kill his guard every time Rabbi would come. Rabbi would bring him back to life. And one day, the whole story there. They were so close, Antoninus and Rabbi. And this is what Yitzchak believed. There could be the same relationship between an Esav and a Yaakov. Only Rivka understood different. Rivka understood what Esav's quality is. She still loved him. Rashi makes it clear. He was their son. A mother's love is a mother's love. But she knew he didn't have what it took Esav to be a Yaakov. Somebody who could combine both worlds. Which is why later when Yitzchak gives over the brochas, he says, a kol kol Yaakov yadayim de Esav. He was no nah, Yitzchak. He understood very, very well what Esav was. When Yaakov was able to combine the Gashmis and the Ruchnis, Yitzchak said, I know what my son is, he's out in the field, what's he doing? But let me give him a tachlis. Let me take that potential and give him a tachlis. Let me give him a purpose. Let me combine them. Gemara Megillah says, even begs HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, please. The Gemara says, let me give him a bracha, he should do it. And Hashem says, he will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He'll enjoy doing it. If that's the case, I can't get up. Yitzchak picks up his hand. Ah, now I see what Esav is. Now read the Gemara. It's very clear, very clear. This is what he knew straight out. What Esav would be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to point out to him. Jump back with me to this week's parasha. And we're going to go back and forth. Avraham Avinu knows what Yishmael is. He's known now. In the parasha itself, we find that he has to struggle with Sarah. The Shalom Bais, because she wants him to kick out Ishmael, Hogar and Ishmael, and Sarah. And what does Avraham Avinu say? Have to go speak to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Your wife, Rashi says very clearly, is a greater Nevi'ah than you are. Her prophecy is much greater than you. So why do you have to go and mitzvah with the Rebbeinu Shlom of what your wife says? Rashi clearly states she was a greater Nevi'ah than, greater in prophecy than him. She was way more powerful than him. The Rachayim HaKodesh at the beginning of the sixth parasha says, after the Bris Milah, Avraham Avinu was able to reach, first the Rachayim, a much clearer form of Nevuah than he had before the Bris Milah. When Sarah Avinu was already more powerful than, even after the Bris Milah, was more powerful than Avraham Avinu. The Rachayim HaKodesh says, that really, 100%, he was much more, she was much more powerful than him. See, she wasn't just yapping off, I'm fed up. Forget the fact the Medrash says that he tried killing his brother Yishmael, tried shooting arrows at him, or the Ashpoy you would have. She doesn't want him. What does he go and he says to the Mishnah, listen to your wife. Because to kick a son out the house, however much Nevuah can be sinking and much greater, requires the Rebbeinu Shlom's intervention. To tell your son, get out of here, you're not welcome because you're a terrible Ashpoy in the family, go seek help from the Rebbeinu Shlom. Go ask the greatest authority that you can get your hands on to know if this is the right way to do it. That's the level of kicking the kid out of the house. And we know, Chazal teach us, even after he was kicked out of the house, Avraham Avinu made his rounds to check on the son. Famously, the Medrash says, Miam Lois brings out how he went out of his way to check on the son, see where son was, how he was living, who his wives were, were they greeting people. Sarah Avinu didn't let him go into the tent, so he had to be very careful. Tried his camel to stay outside of the tent and call out where his son is. He would advise Yishmael. Even on the trip to the Arcadia, he had Yishmael and Eliezer come. Was Yishmael like that? Yes, because Avraham Avinu never stopped caring, reaching out at any level where he could have an Ashpoy on his son. And Yishmael did Teshuva at the end of his life. It left a mark, it left an effect on Yishmael. Yishmael did Teshuva. How much we gain from that in the future, what the Rishonim say, and we're not going to go into that now. But again, Avraham Avinu's entire intent. In this parasha, Hashem says to him, bring me the son you love. Bring me the son. Which son? Which son? I love them both. I love them both. What do you mean you love them both? We know the Tamahava, we know what Hashem is referring to, we know that you daven and kvetch for Yitzchak, and now you're trying to play a game with the British. Which son? Because the idea that both have the ability to reach greatness is Avraham Avinu's strength. To see that everyone and everything has a koyach. It is only from the obvious Avraham Avinu who mitches back and forth through Rabbeinu Shlom over Sodom. The result is so great that he goes back and forth that a moyov comes out of that. then the Moya would have a Rus, and the Rus would bring down the mess because of only the Mitchell, till he brought the best potential of the worst. The worst you could imagine he was able to take out. That's the level. 10 years ago, I'll never forget, I was called, but the case I had to deal with, I was called by some parents to deal with a son who was absolutely not interested in anything. And I spoke to this, I said, what's the matter? Where the school is not relevant. Unfortunately, since then I've been informed it happens more than once. A young boy didn't understand the Tosis Ola. Took his father the night before, Tati, I want to know the Tosis. He was the weakest in the class. The fact that he wanted to look at Tosis was a nace. They looked at it, went back to class. The person teaching them in class turns around to this young boy and he says, oh, no, it's not, because now you learn Tosis. He said, I learned with my father last night, da 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 da. He says, listen, you're wrong, but I can see you won't listen to me. So I'll tell you something, you're so very sick, you won't listen to me. So give me your name, I'll done for you to have a first name. The boy was so shocked, he goes over to them now. This is what I've been told, I'm really deeply hurt. The master says, but you're it. He's right, I'll done for you too, give me your name. And then I get this case on my desk. And you know, what did I do? I went and I approached the Chanchim. Can you please explain to me why this in this case? He's always been very, very challenging. Did you know the night before he tried to learn with his father a piece of Gemara, he tried to attain something deep and to be Matzdech in the Gemara? Forget that, put that to the side. No, it's part of his journey. He's trying to connect. I'm a bit puzzled. Why would you say it to a child? He's challenging Chitzpah, the whole class. Again, did you park your ego at the front door when you went into Chinuch, or did you take it into the class with you? And you approached another, did you see the full potential that you could come out with? Your approach is wrong. Again, who was I? A young kid doing his job, dealing with children who unfortunately were so blasted in such a point. And again, perhaps, Dafskos, what do we know that we could have been challenging? Oh, but despite all that, how are you taking a child and building them up to the next level? You've succeeded in destroying him completely. He was one of the hardest cases I had to contend with just based around getting him to open up a Gemara after that. It took me 4 to 5 years till he opened up a Gemara. After 2 years, we opened up a Chumash together until we got to Gemara. And the first time he finished the Omud of Gemara, he burst into tears. Baruch Hashem, he's Matzliach today. Oh, but we had to climb for every gopher's sort of acid possible just to be matzil this boy, to remind him of the beautiful potential he has. So how do you deal with such a child? You remind him of his koyach. You take a child who's taka god, a chitzpin, an azazin, you take him, you build him. You don't take a child and put him out there that way. That was the koyach Avraham Avinu understood in the worst child. He had Yishmael. Yishmael, the same Yishmael tried killing his brother. Yes, this Yishmael. Yishmael, who the Torah says returned to his office. Yishmael's kids, they came out the way they did. We're not going to go into that. Of Yishmael himself went back to his office. How Avraham Avinu didn't stop giving, he never gave up on his kids. The mind of Avraham Avinu is understanding what it is. A Malach can't understand that. This week's Pashto B'Yakov could be highlighted in the greatest way possible. The Malachim come, they visit Avraham Avinu, wah, wah, wah. Avraham Avinu makes a whole kinds of cedar for them. He prepares, he does. What do Chazal teach us? What happened out of that? When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to get the Torah, he went all to get the Torah. The Malachim said, you don't deserve the Torah. You won't look after the Torah, you can't keep the Torah. And one of the challenges Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Malachim was, hey, you ate meat to milk together by Avraham Avinu's cedar. You can't have it. We know very clearly they didn't eat meat and milk together. Malachim don't eat food. They were Maris. But what's the problem with his argument? A Malach understands Yesodus in the Torah. He can go into all the Yesodus of what you do in mitzvah. He can't start from the bottom rung. But boss of Adam starts from the bottom level. I don't eat meat and milk together. I don't. Simple. The simple stage. The physical. I don't mix. That's it. There's Yesodus in the Torah. I start breaking down every S of Kibbutz S of Yisrael. I go into what it really means to keep it, and there's Yesodus. But I, as the boss of Adam, can start from the bottom and go all the way up. I bring up the Ruchnius. I take it from where it is, and I take it all the way up. That is the definition when you talk about what it is in Gadlus, what it is to build from the bottom line up. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Malachim. It was a koyach only Avraham Avinu could guarantee Moshe Rabbeinu an argument in Shemayim, because he understood what it meant when you do a mitzvah from the bottom all the way up. There's a big debate whether he was correct to involve Yishmael Taka when it came to the mitzvah of Nesasarachim. He got him involved. Again, the argument of Avraham Avinu was that you have to have your children involved. You have to give them the chashivas. You have to make Yiddishkeit count. Ad kedei kach, again, the parasha points, Loit, yes, he saw the malachim. He saw them as chashiv. That was his entire aspect of them. He saw the chashivas of what they were. But he didn't manage to reach Avraham Avinu's level. That's not the point. That the fact, the Chazal pointed out, it was what he had seen by Avraham Avinu, it affected him later on, saved his life, etc. The effects you do when it comes to somebody else, they are that powerful. They leave an impression. And the Gemara Makkos says that how did the one time the one to build the chaim, one of the Rabbeim and Chaim, he was beating the kids too much. And the Mefarshim, they go over this, beating the kids. Can you? Shouldn't you? That's not your first step. Today, B'chanot. It's not how you approach a child at all. How are you making a child feel valued? I remember one of the, a local Dayan. Okay, I won't say if it's Stanford or Golders Green, but in between those two, it's a mamish, one of the Gedolim. I was talking to him before I came here. We talk whenever I have Shailas or Bochum, whatever, I can always approach him. And he said to me, you know, Simchiai, what are you speaking about tomorrow? I told him. And he said to me something so powerful. He says, you know, I really appreciate it because I got it from my father, you got it from his father. That whenever my son asks a question, or when they were little kids asked, I would say, it's a murderous question. Let's sit down together and delve into it. So I was like, wow, what questions did they ask you? He said, very simple questions. He said, with the obvious, simple questions. But I always made an issue that I would sit with a child and lend them greater chashivas into what they were asking. I would bring up the question. I would make it beautiful. I would beautify it. He says, today people come to a hidden mitzvah, mekoyf the shayna esrik box, beautiful astragim, you should know, yeah? The nicest when it comes to the abaminim, ah, gishmak, asen. When it comes to the children, how are you being mahada, the hidda, making it that when they ask you a question, you're making it even more of a hidda? You take the question, you bring up another level. He would spend every time a child of his asked the question, murdik, he would take up the sefer, he would find a source. And if the shaila wasn't strong enough, he strengthened it. Avraham Avinu asks Mamre a question in reach, outreach. We famously know, I got a shpoch who appears in the field of Mamre. What's Mamre's field? Avraham Avinu asked Mamre, should I or shouldn't I go and do what I do? You know, should I get a bris mila or not? Das Gainim, Balat Tesis, what does it even mean? You have to ask Mamre this question? I mean, wouldn't that be contrary to what you're trying to achieve? Imagine you are great and Choshev Rav who speaks to the Rebbein Shem every single day. The Rebbein Shem requests you do a mitzvah, and I understand you need to do outreach. But why are you going over to Mamre and asking him to do a mitzvah? And they answer, no, 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 no. He wasn't going to Mamre to ask him, Mishaila, tell me, do you think I should go along and do outreach? Do you think I should go along and do bris mila? His outreach was genius. He said to him, do you think I should do it in public or private? This is what the Asa Kenyan from Baal HaTesis refers to. He went, he said, public or should I do it privately? What should be your day, how to do it? This is the whole attitude. He said, let's publicize it. Should we publicize it? Shouldn't we? I want your opinion. I, even there, Avraham Avinu would have known what to do. Make a whole thing for Hesia, make it clear, make it public, make it knowledgeable, make it that I am. No, no, no. I'm going to involve you. I'm going to make it ad kedei kach. You will see it, you will appreciate it. The idea that you can approach a Godel whenever you're in Ritzikl of Shavosk was Taka, known as one of the great Rabbonim, Rebbes, Tam Chacham, Kabbalist. I always heard from my Zayda, from my wife, said Dr. Adler, the way he spoke about Ritzikl. He said, what a Talmid Chacham. I once heard him say, I never heard from Torah, but you know, he had nice things to say about the Rebbe. But he was always approachable. You talk about Dr. Adler, Dr. Adler's door is always open. You talk about the Gedolim from that side of the fence. the door was open. You walked in. There was no boundaries. There was no gap in the way. And if there was a way, you just walk in whenever you wanted. It's no question why Kadosh Baruch Hu had to make the sun so hot. If it's cool, you could just walk in whenever you needed to go. See, as I used to say, this is how the God was there for the people. Okay? Yeah, also on the bed there. This again, there is no boundary between you and me. This is the Avraham Avinu approach. There's no question why Hashem had to bring the sun out and make it such a hot day in order that people shouldn't bother Avraham Avinu. The whole question is, and why that Kadosh Baruch Hu made the sun so strong? I knew very quickly that people wanted to have a kesher with Avraham Avinu. They would come all the way. Nonetheless, Kadosh Baruch Hu made it that Avraham Avinu shouldn't be bothered. And then how it bothered Avraham Avinu, he couldn't go along and do Hachnasa Serechim. Again, the attitude of Avraham Avinu is everyone gets involved with me. I heard from Geshe Miller, who was Mashiach in Gated, and he said a very powerful thing that stayed with me till today. The maila of Avraham Avinu when it came to doing the Akedas Yitzchok was when he came to the Akedas Yitzchok, the whole, and again, this is something quite scary, because I researched it. There's videos, there's literally archaeological evidence. In the time period of Avraham Avinu, till Avraham Avinu's time, if you work out the time, the Hebrew date, I'm happy to share all the sources I've got online. I spoke to somebody from the National Museum. It's scary. They have urns of baby remains where the Canaanim would throw, it was common, the children to the fire. This practice of idolatry lasted all the way to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. For example, his father trying to kill him and make him walk through fire. They just said, his mother lit a fire, and a salamander lizard came out, so the blood covered Chizkiyahu HaMelech, so nothing would happen to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. But she made sure she ensured that he survived. In this practice of killing children, it's shocking. They found hundreds and hundreds of urns with baby remains that they can all date to that time period where they threw the children into fire. This is a very disgusting and common practice which Am Yisrael made sure to get rid of as soon as they could. Avraham Avinu is being asked, go and bring your son Yitzchak Avinu as a sacrifice. What's the catch? You do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. What's the catch? You know, Hashem doesn't actually want him to kill his son. Because the whole world, the way it was built up, and the entire system was, you got Avraham Avinu saying, don't kill for Avodah Zarah, don't do Avodah Zarah, which means don't kill for Avodah Zarah. Comes along Avraham Avinu, he's going to look, he's the biggest hypocrite in the world, he's built his entire career over don't murder your kids, but he's killing his son, his beloved Yitzchak, for God. The question was, are you willing to give it all up, this great name you built yourself, and the great Avraham Avinu, all for the one purpose, which is, for Kadosh Baruch Hu, but you're not going to kill your son. Or we will destroy the name you built and what you fought all these years. Are you really willing to do the rotzin of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Today, and unfortunately we see it more and more often, when it comes to children, and it's heartbreaking in the best way to express this, is parents get very embarrassed of the child. I've got this often. Where the parent says to me, I'm embarrassed of my son. Do you mind dealing with this, but don't publicize you deal with the case. Number one, we never publicize what we deal with, whether it's kabbas or other, we don't publicize. Our job is to work with the client, as we call it, with the bacher himself, and that's it. Oh, but please don't publicize it. My biggest schwerkeit when a parent can say that to me, are you embarrassed that you had this child? And the common answer, no, of course not, I love my child, so what's the problem? I'm embarrassed what my child has become. My reaction, do you see what your child will become? Not what has become, will become. Do you see the potential of what your child will be? If it's a fact he's not Shema Termesis, he will be at some point. Have you focused on the parts this child can do well? Have you taken the potential of the child and truly invested into it? There was no reason ever in existence for Avraham Avinu to dumb for Sodom. They were as corrupt as they come. They gave Noach's generation a run for their money. They had to be overturned and completely destroyed. They were sick in the head the way they treated guests. They deserved to be killed. You should have been dancing with Simcha Rabba that this entire group of people who went against every one of his beliefs. They were not his children. They should be dead. They should be destroyed. How they could tie a girl covered in honey and let the wasp and the bees sting it to death. How they treated guests whose feet were longer than the bed. Yeah. Famously, Eliezer, the Yaakov Kuli likes to bring the story. And Eliezer was a servant of Ram Avinu. He once walked through Sodom. And somebody saw a person, he threw a rock on him and he caused him to bleed. Eliezer took him to a local judge. He said, he owes me money, he made me bleed. Judge says, no, you owe him money. Because bloodletting was a medical practice. So you owe him the money. And Eliezer said, Azoi? No problem. He goes over to the judge, throws a rock at him, and the judge starts to bleed. He says, okay, well, I owe him, you can pay on my behalf. And Chazar, this is Eliezer. Eliezer was a Gibe. Again, Sodom were the worst you could imagine, the most corrupt. Avraham Avinu should be dancing with Simcha, and yet Avraham Avinu takes it very to heart. Why? And the Gemara Shabbos explains that when it comes to us, and the Marshal goes into it, we have to take responsibility for one another. There is no way that we can continue without taking responsibility for one another. Why? What's the catch? Why are we to take such responsibility for one another? Where does it come? Rabbunim explains, Vayan Avram Vayem Ehinino. He says, and Avram says, behold, I've taken upon myself. Why? He says, Vanechi of Eifa, I'm but dust and ashes. The question he asks everyone, all men are dust and ashes. He speaks like a Shpochu through prayer on a regular basis. What's the Chabi saying? I am dust, I'm ashes. He keeps begging for the Shpochu. Hashem was considering the destruction of the entire people of Sodom due to how corrupt they were. And Avram is praying they be spared. In his davening, he says, I am only one of all the creatures you made. I am made of dust and ashes. Yet my mercy has made me pray on behalf of everyone. I'm davening for everybody. How much more so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should you have compassion and permit them to survive? That was Avram Avinu's logic. I am definitely nothing to do with the people of Sodom. I'm the complete opposite of the people of Sodom. And yet, Ribbono Shel Olam, I am the one coming and asking for rachmanus for them. Shouldn't you, therefore, who see us all as just, when we are mortal, dust, have rachmanus? If my entire nature is to go against it, and who's your side to say? Rochel Emeinu. Rochel Emeinu, we know when Mashiach's turn is to come, anytime when Tzoros return, Rochel Emeinu, it doesn't matter, my daughter, she's 10. She asked me this question last night. She said, Tati, why is it that we call her Rochel Emeinu? If some of us are from Shevet Yehuda, a lot of us, then what is it? Levi, Kohan, you know, well, what's Rochel Emeinu? And I said, it's a very simple answer in the Chazal, because when Rochel Emeinu did the Baris Leah and Leah married Yaakov, any child that came out from that is the schus of Rochel Emeinu. So what's my daughter answer me back? About Hati, why was it necessary for bringing the maidservants into the marriage to have children? If she wanted to bring in Bila, the whole thing doesn't make sense. If you're saying the schus is of Rochel Emeinu, but you're saying Rochel Emeinu is because they're all our... I said the Ishtadlis is still a very fine thing. You still needed your status, she wanted to still be her personal source, her personal suggestion. Now there was a mix-up that happened, that anywhere he was going to marry Leah, okay. But nonetheless, Rachel knew she had to still do a status. She wouldn't embarrass her. Chazati Shatke Deikach, Rachel stayed the entire night under her bed. So that Leah, it would be her voice, Yaakov would hear. The amount that she went and stuck her neck out so that Leah wouldn't be embarrassed. Comes on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Chazal think you're going to turn around to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, there's no Mashiach, was suffering and godless. Look what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, look what's happening around the world. Rochel Emeinu, come defend us, come down for Mashiach. No one can stand against Rochel Emeinu and Shemayim. No one has the ability to withstand the Rochel Emeinu in the way she crashed. She went and did something. No human being can just give up the love of the person she's connected to. Yaakov was her Bashet, it was meant to be for her. She said, no, I'm going to go and say, away from that. I'm going to gain the tell. I'm going to say, look, Rabbanim, look what I'm willing to give up for. And you can't. And Rabbanim says the same thing. Rabbanim says something so powerful. Rabbanim says, I am but dust. I am but nothing. I'm like everyone else, Rabbanim Shalom. And yet still, they go against me. I'm like, I'm Basav Adam. And my entire nature, what I've done, what I've accomplished, is nothing like them, Rabbanim Shalom. It's nothing like these people of Sodom. And I'm still willing to come and daven for them. Would you not, therefore, come and have rachmanus on them? Would you not step out of your zone? Or would you believe to judge them and have rachmanus? And he begins to daven and daven. And that's the goddess of what he does. And then you look at the parashas that we've had and how they approach their children. It's not a question that Avraham Avinu approached that's completely different when it came to Yishmael. It's not a shaila on how he was able to affect Yishmael on a certain level. It's not a question that Yitzchak Avinu was seeking to affect his sons, Esav and Yaakov. They were seeking the greatness within. They wouldn't stop. They kept comparing, saying, what more? Where am I? What more can I do to bring him back? They questioned their own mortality. They questioned as much as they could. So Aminu was right. Yishmael was not meant to be there. Yenavur. Rivka, wife of Yitzchak, was right. It should be Yaakov, not Esav. But tell the Rebbein Hashem, as I told you, the Gemara beginning, tells Yitzchak, stop. He will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Yitzchak doesn't stop. He keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. Till he understands that you need a Koko Yaakov, Dan and Esav, can be combined into one person. You can raise the Gashmis and you can bring the Ruchnis together. And that's the greatest goddess. When it comes to our children, the entire approach has to be unconditional love. It is a challenging generation. I see it day in, day out. This job makes me feel older every single day. It doesn't get easier. The challenges are coming fast. Very fast, whether it's technology, a change in attitude. But undeniably, the derech of Chazal and the derech of our avos was to love them and to go deeper and within our depth and out of our depth for the child to make them so valued. No matter what, your imprint, your impression will stay the olam avod. Thank you. Yeah, it's a hug.